Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today we're going to teach one of the most provocative subjects in the Holy Scriptures. This is a subject that all the ministers that are black refuse to teach on. And this is a lesson that most white ministers lie about. But today I'm going to teach you the truth. Not according to Elisha, not according to Paul, but I'm going to teach you the truth according to the Mighty One of Israel himself. And I'm going to teach you about this great subject that no other minister will dare speak about. It is called the Mark of Cain. Tonight, I will teach our listening audience what that mark is. But before we go into this great subject, I will again bring you another beautiful song from the CD of the 12 Tribes entitled, I'm Going Through.
Fooling them. Hebrews, we got two choices, but the wrong ones, we choosing them. Brothers in close caps, from blast.
and that's how we viewing them. And chase two of them to tangle. Take a few of them to take the wrong angles. Can't escape the vision when our ancestors got mangled and strangled. Roped up from their neck to their ankles. That just happened 50 years ago. Now we giving your surgeon thank yous. Just because they let you march your vote, you still think they ain't spanking you. Laughing at your calamities while the clan they still hanging you. We went from head to jail to rebel. That's how they training you. Well, we all living in hell. Half in poverty, half in jail. I say half in ghettos, half in cells. I'm not preaching, it's me. I'm just like you and you. I'm trying to make it home, Hebrews. I'm trying to make it through.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Maria Lisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. I want to ask the listening audience, what do you want? Do you want to continue in the lies, the deceit, and the traditions that you have been living on? The ones that held the black man down? Do you want to live in the continual lies, deceit, and traditions that have made black men hate one another to the extent that they're killing one another because they have no love for their fellow men, because they have no love for themselves? They've been beat down, tore down, miseducated, and indoctrinated to the extent that they feel as if they are nothing, have very little value of their lives, or the lies that are around about them. And this is only because of one reason. That one reason is mentioned in the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, where it says, by the Most High, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we're being destroyed today. You got black men being discriminated, exploited, subjugated, and humiliated, and eradicated. And what do they do in return to fight back? They vote every 4 years. They believe that that's the proper way for a trained Negro, a house-born slave, to react. He can whoop on you every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, but the only thing you can do about it is vote every 4 years or every 2 years. They say insanity is when a man does the same thing over and over and over again, but he expects different results. You're not going to get no different results than what you're getting because you're doing the same thing that you've been doing. And you're going to have to change. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of their preachers who was trained by the white man teach our people that they're cursed, that they are recipient of the curse, that the black man as a whole is cursed. And we ask where did they get this from? And then we were brought to the Bible. And let's see where this came from. And let's see what is the mark of Cain. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, in order to study this situation. Start in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. We're going to start reading about this great ordeal that took place in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, the first verse.
Genesis 4th chapter, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yah.
Notice. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son and said, I've gotten a man from Yahweh.
And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
In other words, Cain, they just took care of the farms. He was a tiller of the ground, but Abel, he raised the sheep.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
It had no respect at all. It said that he had no respect for the offering of Cain. But Abel, the Most High, had respect. But they both brought of the best they had. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and Cain brought of the firstlings of the fruit of his ground. So they both brought the best. So it's not that one brought an insufficient offering. And this is why the Creator did not have respect unto Cain. And this is what our people were taught. They were taught that, well, but Cain didn't bring the best that he had. And that's why. No, the Most High had respect for Abel and did not have respect for Cain because the Almighty knew what was in Cain's heart. See, the Creator, you might have said that we judge the outward appearance of man, but Yahweh judged the hearts. He knows what's in your heart. And he's seen what was in Cain's heart before Cain knew what was in his heart himself. And this is the reason why the Most High did not have respect. Not because his offering was insufficient.
And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
In other words, he was mad at the Most High, and his appearance, his whole facial appearance changed. Because here the Most High had respect for his brother, but he didn't have no respect for his offering.
And Yah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
In other words, the Almighty let him know that the creator of the whole universe is a just Elohim. And he's saying, so in so many words, why are you getting upset? Don't be upset. I'm going to judge you by what you do, not what's in your heart, because you might be able to control that. I see something yet you don't see. And because I see it, I don't respect it. But nevertheless, if you do well, you will be accepted and you will be brought into the families of humanity with everyone else. If you do well, so with a condition set, if you do well. Now we're going to see if the descendants of Cain and himself did well.
And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at your door.
He told him right then and there, if you do it not well, sin lieth at your door. That means the door entry of your seed. They'll be born with your attitude. They'll be born with your personality. They would be born with your values, because they are your seed. If thou doest well, should thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at your door, and unto thee shall be his desire.
And thou shall rule over him.
Notice. You shall rule over sin. And who is today ruling over sin? I'm going to give you a clue. Who is it, ornaments of warfare, greater and more in number than any people on the face of the earth? You know, the Chinese years ago had found gunpowder, and they was using it to shoot little firecrackers up in the air, little balloons and little rockets. And everybody was just laughing and just jumping around having a ball. White man seen it, and look what it is that mine did. He said, now if this powder can project an instrument up in the air, maybe I can use this same gunpowder to shoot something through a man's heart and kill him. Shoot him in his head and blow his head off. Then I can take his money and his loot and his land more easier. So one man looked at it and seen something of fun and laughter. Another man looked at it and seen an ornament of destruction, a way to bring affliction and pain and suffering on mankind. No wonder the Most High said unto Cain, if thou doest well, should thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at thy door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, who is him? That means you will have the ability to rule over Satan himself. Every evil and diabolical thought that comes into your mind, he will give you the ability to make it a reality. Just think it. Of course, this man's mind thought about how he can drop something off a plane and burn up a whole city, messing them up for generations to come. Have everybody born with aging green and just die and suffer in their insides right away. Even his own soldiers, because he seen that they were dispensable. This is what this man's mind did. Now, I think you're getting a picture of who is manifesting himself to be the descendants of Cain. Well, let's keep reading. Let's read more, because this is not enough yet.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
In other words, these are two brothers just walking through the field. One brother talking to another. But in the process of time, it just came to pass that he rose up and slew his brother. Just like the white man, he went all through the earth and mingled with his brother. But every time he mingled with anybody, as soon as he mingled and came into friendship in a period of time, he rose up and slew them. He never lived with anybody in peace. He never lived with anybody in unity. Every nation this man has ever went to, he has subjugated the people. He's destroyed the people. And he has brought the other people under his yoke by any means necessary. Lying, deceiving, voting, and cheating, and murdering. He just rose up and killed him. There's no time in history, no place in history where this man has ever coexisted in peace and harmony with anyone. And today we're trying to do everything humanly imaginable to get along with him. We told him, listen, we'll be your brother. We don't mind you raping our mothers. We don't mind that you've torn and feathered our fathers. We don't mind that you have hung our sons and daughters. We will be willing to forgive you and walk down the roads of brotherhood. And all we want you to do is don't divide everything with us. We don't want that. We don't want your pie. We don't even want a half of the pie. All we want is a little piece of the pie. Just give us a piece of the pie. And in return, we'll go and fight your wars. We'll kill anybody you sick us on. Just tell us. And we'll do your bidding and your killing. Honey, give us a piece of the pie. And what do we get in return? Today, there's not an institution in America that's run by a white man that's not racist. I repeat, there is not an institution in America that's ran by white folks that's not racist. I know there's some good white folks, but if they ever are put in a position of leadership, they know what's expected of them. They know what's expected of them. It's like years ago, the last time I voted was in the 1960s. That was for John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And when he died and got killed, I cried because here's the man that spoke good and spoke warmly about our people. But then I said, well, I'm going to study this man because he might be another John Brown who is really a good person. And as I studied him, I found out that John Kennedy and his administration had one of the greatest black African leaders that were trying to unite the Africans had a murder by the CIA. Patricia Lumumba, during Kennedy's administration. And I found out that this man, Kennedy, tried to assassinate Fidel Castro over 3 times just because he was trying to unite his people. I said, are all of them this way? Let's keep reading.
And Yah said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
In other words, he gonna get arrogant with the Most High. How he gonna lie to the Most High? As many of you all are trying to lie to him today. I don't know where he is. A lot of y'all saying, I don't know the truth. And you hear me every week. I don't know the truth. And you got books you read that tell you to eat swines and dogs, and you talk about, I don't know the truth. You got books that tell you to worship other men, to worship the creature rather than the creator, and you're going to say, I don't know the truth. You know. Just as Cain knew. And you can't lie to the Most High. You can fool some men some of the time, but you can't fool all the men all of the time, and you can't fool Yahweh no time. He knows your corruption, as he did with Cain. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Did you give me a job to just watch him?
And Yahweh said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand.
In other words, Almighty lets him know. He know where he is. He said, the voice of your brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. Can blood talk? Yes, blood can talk. Does blood have character? Yes, blood has character. Is blood living? Yes, blood is living. And I created new this centuries before they came out with these great electronic microscopes and seeing the blood has life in it. The Almighty has already addressed that. He knew that was in what was in the blood. We quickly turn our books to the book of Leviticus. I want to show you something for a minute. Leviticus, the 17th chapter. The Creator told us in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 10th and 11th verse.
And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people.
In other words, the Creator said, any man of the house of Israel or any stranger that joined himself to you that eateth any manner of blood, any manner of people or animals or fowls or fish, any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and I will cut him off from amongst his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. See, the blood has life in it. All your life-giving forces and enzymes is in your blood. And the Creator knew this when other people were just drinking blood, using it as an aphrodisiac. The Most High said, don't do it. If the animal got any disease and you drank the blood, you're going to have that same disease. You're not to eat any blood. It is the life of all living, and therefore you should eat no manner of blood. So we, the children of Israel, we know that we are not to consume any type of blood through our mouth, through our veins, in any form, because it is against the laws of the Most High. Getting back to Genesis.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
Notice, you begin to find out right here, as we read the scriptures, who Cain is. If you don't know by now, by his doings, notice the Creator said a fugitive and a vagabond. Fugitive and a vagabond. What is that? The 11th verse says, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. That's reading the Europeans were forced to be great merchants and sellers going all over the world. The Vikings, I went all over Europeans went all over because they were trying to seek that which their own land did not yield unto them. And they always went to other people's land. They went all over Asia looking for the spices and whatnot. They went all into North America looking for food and whatnot because Europe was not yielding it to them, her increase. So they were forced to go elsewhere looking for the life-giving substances to sustain life. And they became a fugitive. A fugitive is somebody that's running from justice. He's constantly running. And not only would he be a fugitive, he would be a vagabond. A vagabond is somebody that go everywhere. He's not satisfied with his home, so he got to go everywhere else. And look who's in every place you go. Not because he was brought there as a slave, but he went there claiming he's making friends with the people, and then he conquered the people or destroyed the people or attempting to destroy them as he is this day. One time he had the whole earth under his yoke. Whole of Africa was colonized. That's what happened in China. That's what happened in Vietnam. When the people start coming under control, they wanted to kill the ones that were under Americans' Western thinking. So you had a revolution. All the ones they felt were Uncle Toms and had Western thoughts and Westernism, and they wanted to kill them because they knew that they were not their brothers no more. So this brought about the division in Cambodia and Laos, North and South Vietnam, North and South Korea, Communist China, Laos. Where do you think all this violence, all these brothers fighting, killing each other, all over? Who you think set them at war against each other? Who do you think's doing it? Who do you think is trying to divide Cuba right now and starving the fighting? Who you think is trying to start moving in on Cesar Chavez and trying to divide his people and have them fighting one another? This old trick of the devil, divide and conquer. Who do you think's doing this? You think it's just happening spontaneously? No, there's forces behind this. And it always had been. We have a fugitive running loose in the earth today, and a vagabond that's ruling everything. Then he goes over and tell other people how to live. And got the original inhabitants of this land even living on a few reservations, the few that's left. And he's going to tell everybody about his system and why it's so just. And they said, we don't want it because we're looking at the fruits of it. We see what happens. We see how it was conceived. We don't want it. Take it back. But nevertheless, you see, the Most High made this man a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And what did Cain say about it? Genesis 4:13.
And Cain said unto Yah, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
You know, what is so bad? He didn't kill you, but he made you a fugitive and a vagabond in earth. But he seen and knew what this meant. He knew what this meant for his descendants. He knew that this was a perpetual curse that the Most High was placing on him. And he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth.
Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I shall be hid. And he said, I brought out last week that the white man is the only people in the world that never had a god of their own. Only gods that they serve, the gods of the black man. Only other gods they had were the gods they just made up. Mythological gods, Thor and Hercules, and Zeus and the lightning god with the hammer and all that foolishness. They just made them up, these mythological gods. But anytime they had a religion, they went and served the religions of the black people of the earth. All the religions of the earth are black. Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, that come from Africa. Did you know the first priests, the first popes were Africans? Islam, oh, that's from Africa. That's from the dark country, as they call it. And this is what it did, because from Yahweh's face, he was hid. Reason he never had a God, because he never had a white man that he looked up to that believed in peace and nonviolence. Only men this man recognized and looked up to and tipped his hat to were men of violence. There is no nonviolent white man that the other whites look up to because of his passive position, because he turns the other cheek, because he's a man of peace. No. You want to get attention from other white people, you're going to have to show that you're able to kill and destroy people, that you're able to have a strong military. President Clinton said the other day, he said, our people would rather be, how did he say it? He would rather be wrong and strong than to be weak and white. We don't want to be weak and white now. We'd rather be wrong and strong. And this is their philosophy. But this man now was seeing what was happening. He did not want to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And then he made a statement in the 14th verse. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from thy face, Yahweh. From thy face shall I be hid.
And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth.
And I shall be a fugitive and vagabond in the earth.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. In other words, everybody want to kill me. Everybody want to make this kill me and all my descendants, because he knew he can only die one time. So he knew, obviously, the Most High was talking about his descendants. So he said, it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall kill me. He can only die one death. But he's speaking of his descendants, and he didn't want everybody killing his descendants.
And Yah said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.
Notice what the Most High said. Yahweh said, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him seven times, sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him shall kill him. In other words, the Most High put a mark. And he put this mark to let the world know that I don't want you to go and kill this man because of what he did. He and his descendants are going to remain on this earth until judgment day. And I don't want no people, no group of people attempting to eradicate him. And I don't put a sign to distinguish him from all the other men on this earth. I'm going to put a mark upon him. And the Most High put that mark on him. And today, our lesson is, what is that mark? Did the Most High curse him and turn him black? No. The majority of the people on the earth are black. Put a mark on him and turn him yellow. No. Let's not guess. Let's look at what the Almighty promised to put on a man for disobedience. Let's see that the Almighty ever threaten a people and tell his people, if you do wickedly, I'm going to change your complexion and turn it. Let's see. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. Let's go there as we search through the scriptures for this answer. What was that mark that Yah put on Cain? I'm here to assure you that I did not bring out this lesson in an attempt to hurt anybody's feeling. That was not my intent. My intent is to straighten out these lies that have been taught to belittle our people, to make our people feel as if they're nothing, to make them have even less self-esteem than they had. I want the black man to rise up and be the great black nation that the Almighty intended for them to be. But before he can do that, we must eradicate him from the shackles of lies and deceit that has been hanging on his neck, that's been put on his neck by his enemies, while we attempt to teach the truth. And that is the true identity of Cain. Before I go and read out of the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, I want to read something out of the book of Psalms 40. The 40th division of Psalms, the 8th to the 10th verse. And I'm going to read this while some of you all are looking for Deuteronomy 24. And here's what it says in this 40th chapter, the 8th to the 10th verse. I delight to do thy will, O my Elohim. Yea, the law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Yahweh, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Today, I will embark upon showing you the hidden things, the lying ministers that are taking your money every day refuse to show you. According to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, we're going to read the 8th verse.
Take heed in the plague of leprosy.
Take heed. The Almighty's saying, I want you to be aware. I want you to be on guard. I want you to take heed of the plague of leprosy.
That thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do.
In other words, Almighty's warning the people about something terrible. He said, I want you to take heed in the plague of leprosy. Now, what does the plague of leprosy do? Do it turn a man white or green or black, as we've been taught? He said, I want you to take heed that thou, and why? He wanted us to take heed that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so should ye observe to do. But Almighty said, I'm going to speak to the priests, and as I speak to them, I want you them to speak to you. And when they speak to you, I want you to observe to do what they tell you to do. And that is keep my commandments. Because if you don't do what they tell you to do, you better watch out for this plague of leprosy. And then in the 9th verse, he tells us what this plague is going to do.
Remember what Yah did to Miriam by the way. After that, you were come forth out of Egypt.
He said, remember. He wanted us to never forget. That's what the word remember. And now all our people have forgotten. Or should I say most of us? He said, remember what Yahweh the Elohim did unto Miriam by the way. After that ye were come forth out of Egypt. What did he do to Miriam? And we're going to see what Yahweh did to Miriam. We go to the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. We're going to see exactly what the Almighty did to Miriam and what the people regarded it as when they seen it. According to Numbers, the 12th chapter, this is one of my favorite chapters. This is where we find out that Moses' brothers and sisters his brother and sister came against Moses because they were also prophets and prophetesses. And they're going to question someone that was very near to the Most High. Even though the Almighty has many prophets, he had always had one that's near to him than the rest of them. As he said, he would have in the book of Deuteronomy in the 18th chapter. And so this is no exception. The Almighty has order in his house that he established and has a code of order. And they broke it. And here's how they broke it.
Numbers 12th chapter, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman.
In other words, they talked against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. They wasn't mad at him because she was black, because they were black. And Moses was black, as you're finna see. But they were mad at the fact that he married an Ethiopian woman because she was not of the house of Israel. And they felt that he should only marry another Israelite. And so they began to admonish him for this.
And they said, "Hath Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And Yahweh heard it. And Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out.
You see, the Most High has a voice. And his voice told them to come out into the door of the tabernacle. And they came out.
And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth.
So you see, the Most High came down and stood. He came down a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called them out, Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, to come forth.
And he said, "Hear now my words.
If there be a prophet amongst you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold." In other words, Most High let him know if there's any other prophet, he's going to speak to him in a vision, or come in a dream while they're in the bed sleeping at night. He said, "Moses, I don't appear to him in no vision, nor do I appear to Moses in a dream. When Moses, who is faithful in all my house, the most faithful man in all of my kingdom, with him will I speak mouth to mouth." Yes, the Creator has a mouth. And he said he would speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold.
Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses.
In other words, you know how uniquely and how unique this man was. You know how different he was. You know why I separated him from other prophets. I come and talk to this man mouth to mouth, as a man speaking unto his friend, and you going to have the nerve, the audacity to approach someone that's that near to me, and you going to speak against him?
And the anger of Yah was kindled against them.
He was angry with Aaron and with Miriam. He was very angry.
And he departed.
He departed. But when he left, he went up, but he left his wrath down. And let's see what his wrath, his curse did to them.
And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow.
Behold, Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. And what did they say when they looked upon her? Did Aaron look and say, oh, what a beautiful, blonde-haired, white woman you are? Is that what he said? No. Look what her brother said when he seen this white woman now standing before him. This woman that used to be black, that is now white. What did he say to her? I know if it was some of these athletes, they'd be breaking their neck to give them every penny they got. Good gracious, it wasn't some of these football players around here. They'd been carrying on their shoulders. But with a person that had divine knowledge seen this woman, what did they say to her?
And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my master, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us.
Notice he said, alas, my master, I beseech thee, lay not the sin. They regarded the whiteness as a type of sin. They said, lay not the sin upon us wherein
we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned.
They acknowledged their transgression. They said, don't lay this sin upon us. Don't lay this one on us. Not this one. Because we have been foolishly, and we had sinned.
Let her not be as one dead.
Because when a person was cursed and turned white, they had lost the gift of eternal life.
Of whom the flesh is half consumed.
Of whom the flesh is half consumed.
When he cometh out of his mother's womb.
Letting you know that there were babies coming out of the mother's womb at that time in history with their flesh half consumed, being born white.
And Moses cried unto Yahweh, saying.
Right now we have a news break. And we're going to talk about this with our listening audience. We're going to talk about this great subject. We might not finish it this week because we hadn't even began to show you what the Most High had to say about this issue. We hadn't even began to show you. But we're going to talk about this subject with some of our guests that are calling in. If you want to join us, and you don't have to talk about this, you can talk about anything you want to. Just call 513-749-1230. Call us up and we'll talk about it. We'll be right back. Shalom. Of the House of Israel, bringing your truth or tradition. Today, I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only lawgiver, the only judge, the only king, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today, we're going to show you what Yah says in relationship to the mark of Cain. We've been talking about this for about an hour now, and we're going to allow some of our brothers to comment and give their opinions on this very highly provocative matter. And we want you to come in, call in, and give your comments. Give your scriptures. If it says anything differently, we'd like to see it. And we'd also love to hear your opinion just on anything that you care to talk about. But right now, we're going to some brothers on the line. But if you have any questions, any comments, area code 513-749-1230. And that was a beautiful lady that came to our class today that listened to our show last week and to comment. I would like her to call in and tell our listening audience how she enjoyed our class for the first time and what she learned, and was it a learning extravaganza for her, as I said it would be. I hope she calls in and makes some comments on that. But right now, we're going to the Black Line. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Elder. Greetings. How you doing today?
Excellent. How are
this
you?
This evening, rather.
Excellent. Fine tonight.
I see. You're doing very well this evening. It's not too much that I can add to everything you've said, but the fact that, you know, it's a beautiful lesson, and I appreciate the spirit of Yah moving with you.
Thank you.
And I also like the brethren and sister to look at the fact that everywhere Canaan go, the earth began to degrade. It began to be poisoned from his presence, his breath from his nostrils, poisoned the trees and the rivers and the seas. And you could just look at the history of his migration to verify this here. Each and every place he go, he destroys the land, and the earth will not give her strength.
All right.
Most definitely.
Okay.
I'll let you go with that, and
yes,
I appreciate
sir.
It, because we have a champion in Yisrael. Most definitely. Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
I like to stay on the line and listen if
it's
feasible.
Yes, you can. You can
okay, thank you
right
very much.
On the line,
right.
And you can listen.
Shalom to the
shalom,
house of Yisrael.
Shalom. Yeah, Brother Wester here. And before we go to rest, we can go to Sister D and Tina. Go to the lady first, and then we'll come back with one of my brothers. But anybody else want to join us, 749-1230. But right now, we're going to Sister Tina.
Hello, Brother Murray.
Shalom.
Shalom. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And just wanted to say, last week when I told you I made a decision and made my decision, thought about it all week long, and I was at a feeble moment when I said I would come out this week. So I made a decision, and didn't mean to disappoint you by not showing up today, but I made a decision to go where I am, and I just want to be blessed behind that decision and in that walk. But I will listen to your show, okay?
All right, and I might tell you this. If you have made a decision to remain,
please.
If you have made a decision,
yes,
to remain a Christian,
yes,
you can't be blessed in that walk because all Christians worship Christ. Am I correct?
That's correct, and I have great teachers that explain everything to me.
Well, I want them to explain this to you.
In Bible
explain,
study,
yeah,
they explain
I want you to,
everything.
I want them to explain this to you. How is it that all Christians, in order to be a Christian, you have to worship Christ?
Yes, we
and,
do.
Yes, but Christ said not to worship him.
No, we don't worship. He's
well, you
the
just
son
said
of God.
You worship. What you just said you
no,
worship.
No, you're not going to abuse me.
I'm not trying to abuse
okay?
you.
Okay, it's
just,
what I want to do.
No, I know I, that,
it's
but
the son of God. He's
yeah, but
the you, son of God.
Well, whether he's the daughter of God, you still don't supposed to worship him, and you admitted that you worship him.
We
and
worship God through
no,
Jesus
well,
Christ.
Show me where God said worship him through anyone.
Jesus don't even say worship him.
I
he
know
says
it,
then, worship the Father.
Then why are you worshiping him? And why are all Christians worshiping him? See, Christianity is predicated on the worship of Christ. If you don't worship Christ, you can't be a Christian.
Well,
all Christians
they
worship
me
him.
A babe in Christ, and I'm a new Christian.
Well,
and
I'll tell you what, find somebody that's
to
a,
me, every Bible study, and I'm already tore down and beat up. And
well,
this is a decision where I want
well,
to be.
Well, you said that, but I'm just talking to you a little bit. Why don't you get one of these fellows that's not a baby to come on our show and try to defend these lies they're teaching you?
They're not lies.
Well, then try to get one of them to come on the show to defend whatever they're teaching.
It's the mother of the church that's walking with me.
It's the mother of the church. Did you know the New Testament condemns any woman for teaching? Hello? Hello? Would you like to see that?
You sound that fine. The teacher's the preacher. He's we have Sunday school teachers.
A Sunday school? Where
have,
in the where is it that the Bible said go to church on Sunday? Where? Just one place. But you got good Bible teachers.
Yes,
they're
we
teaching
do.
You to worship Christ, and you admit that you don't supposed to worship him. They're teaching you that women are preaching when their own book say a woman should not teach, and they're teaching you to have Sunday school when their own book condemns any Sunday worship.
Well,
so how could they be teaching you the truth and everything that you
do? I have to bow down to the Father, the great I am.
Well, if you bow down to the Almighty.
Jesus Christ, because a Christ is in my name. My name is Christine, and I made a decision to bow down to God through his son, Jesus Christ.
Well, then, would you show the listening audience where he said, bow down to me through my son? Maybe you can share that with our listening audience. Because we have a lot of people that want to worship Christ.
I know.
But
I know
looking.
He said that he would be in the world in the Old Testament.
Well, let me show you what Christ
he
said in the New
world,
Testament.
He would be in the world, and the world would know him not.
Let me show you what Christ said in the New Testament. Here's what because he left a message for you. And I'll give you this message
Lord.
Before you leave.
Dear Lord.
Yes, I want you to hear
I'm
this.
I'm in constant prayer
right.
right now.
Yes.
And these people, they are
I want
very,
you to hear this.
They
I'm
are
on.
Very... They are very educated.
Well, why don't you get one of these very educated people to come on our show?
Because I've only been there 8 weeks.
You've been
and
there
I'm
eight
still months. Learning, okay?
Well, let
and
me
I'm,
say
and
it.
And I just finished new members class.
Well, do this for me. Go, and I know what they told you when you mentioned Alicia's name, but I want you to do
I
this.
Didn't mention your name.
I want you to do this for me. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew's. The seventh chapter.
All right. Dear Lord Jesus, you know, dear Father in heaven, you know, my grandmother left me at a very early age. At a very early age. And
I want to read something to you because the people don't want to hear personal testimonies. They want to see some scriptures.
Well, this is what my grandmother taught me and my mother when they left here. What'd you say, Matthew?
7.
And you know, so many wolves out here.
All right, I know they
Matthew
are.
Matthew 7. Dear Lord Jesus. You Matthew's, know, I'm in constant
right.
prayer. You know, and.
All right, well, let me read
okay,
this.
Okay, go ahead. 7 what?
I'm going to start
judge
reading.
Judge not that
Wait,
ye
no,
be not
that's
judged.
Not, sister, that's not what I'm going to read. I want you to hold your spirit for a minute.
Okay.
Put a lasso on your spirit and hold it down for 1 minute. I'm going to read something out of your book, okay? Here's what Christ said about you and other Christians that
and
worship
my
him.
My husband gave me this Bible for my 30th birthday. 7 and what verse?
Well, we're going to start reading at the 21st verse.
Okay.
Go ahead, read.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
In your book it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
That's correct.
Well, if you do the will of his Father, the Father said worship only him.
Yes, but
so
they
you're
teach
not,
that Jesus
and wait, no, 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 let me finish. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Where are you reading?
Then, I'm reading in Matthew's 7:22.
Okay.
I'm in the 23rd verse.
I got you.
And then the 23rd verse says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He called people such as yourself and others workers of iniquity. He said, because you're blessing people in his name, you're building churches in his name, you're doing many wonderful works in his name. He said, but you never learned how to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Because if you did the will of his Father, you would not be worshiping him.
But that
if
was
you
the
did
point.
The will
that
of,
the, wait,
no,
was the
wait,
point right
hold
then.
Wait. If you did the will of his Father, sister, you would not be going to church on Sunday. You would not be eating pig. You would not be worshiping Christ. So you're not doing the will of his Father. You're not even doing the will of the Christ. Because the Christ said, worship only my Father. So you're not doing either one of their will. You're just allowing some bunch of educated men that you feel confidence in because they have education to mislead you. But the Christ of the New Testament said these things are hid from the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes. So he even condemned you for listening to these so-called wise men. And I challenge you, why don't you get one of these wise men to come on our show, and I'll give them equal time to talk and ask me questions as I question him. This is what I'd like you to do. But thank you, Sister Tina. Right now, we're going right to Brother Wesley, then we're going to Brother Tyrone. But right now, to Brother Wesley. Yes.
Murray, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. How you doing, my brother?
Brother, I'm doing wonderful. And all praise to the mighty Yah.
I'm glad to have you home again, brother. It's a great blessing to talk to you and to see you every day. It's a great delight.
Yes, sir.
I've seen you right at the devil's footstep while he's trying to put you away for life, and now you're back out here amongst our brothers and sisters praising the Most High.
Yes, sir. And you know, I just want to say to the sister and to anyone in the listening audience, it's not easy to overcome what you're going through, or it appears uneasy, and that uneasiness to overcome is based on how you've been brainwashed through many generations. This is not something that happened over 10 years or 20 years, but it's happened over several thousand years. And the enemy, the people who have the mark
mm-hmm.
upon them,
yes.
those examples you gave about Miriam,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the example of Gehazi.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High has pointed out that when you lose that melanin, that which makes us look black, you're losing your connectedness to the earth,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
eternalness.
Mm-hmm.
So, sister, I would urge you and anyone in the listening audience to study diligently and to really listen and not be afraid that you're going to be cursed because you've been brainwashed into thinking that something is going to happen to you because you're challenging Christianity or the Christ, because you've been told that if you die without Jesus Christ, that you're going to go to hell. You really have to ask yourself some questions and say, do I know what I know? Can I challenge this and be okay? And if I can't challenge it, it's got to be something wrong. So, you know, I don't want to be overworded, Moray, because you know what you're doing, and you know that it takes time and patience
mm-hmm.
to undo the mess that our people find ourselves in.
Yes.
But so I would just say that, like myself, I was there. I used to stand up the same way and say, you know, if you don't go for Jesus and this is the new covenant and the old covenant was did away with. But once I went ahead and listened and read what it was saying, I did read, in fact, that Jesus was saying, follow the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to enter into the kingdom, then follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the law say? The law says, thou shalt have no other God before me,
yeah.
no graven image of me.
That's the will of the Father. Mm-hmm.
That's the will of the Father. So if you would only, you know, if you can do 2 + 2 and read fairly well, then read carefully and you'll see that Yah's word is clear. It's not your word, Moray, that you're trying to convince people of. You're not like those pastors that are trying to trick the people. You're taking them step by step and showing them like a map how they can find their way back to their right mind. Because
mm-hmm.
right now, just like they were, you're insane. You know, people out there in the audience, you're insane. So, Murray, I want to say hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let me remain on the line because
yes,
I'm out of town. And
Yes, you can.
And continue the fine work and praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Thank you for letting me remain.
Yes. He's remaining on. All right. Right now, anybody want to call us? Area code 749-1230. Area code 513. We'd love to hear you. And the sister that visited us today, if she cared to call me and if she wanted to and tell people how she liked the class, I'd love her to do so. But right now, we're going right to Brother Tyrone. Brother Tyrone. Brother Tyrone. All right. Well, Brother Tyrone, you must have stepped away from the phone. So I wanted to finish reading something out of the book of the Numbers, the 12th chapter. And we can hold him on because he can try to come back later after he get off where he's at. But we were reading something out of the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, where the Most High had put a curse on Miriam because she talked against Moses. And this curse turned her white. And when her brother seen her, he said, "Lay not the sin upon us." Now, why would he say that? Why was this white skin considered a sin? The reason it was considered a sin, because according to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 8th verse, it's something the Creator said he would warn the people that he would do if they were disobedient to the priest. He told them that in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 8th verse. He said, "This is what I'm going to do if you don't listen and do what the priest tell you to do. I'm going to put this sin on you and turn you white, just like I turned Marion white." Now, a lot of people say, well, this is leprosy. Well, there is a type of leprosy, and we're going to examine it. We're going to go to the book of Leviticus. We're going to go there, and we're going to look at this leprosy and see if there's a difference of this leprosy, and what is the difference. We can go to the book of Isaiah, Leviticus. And we're going to go to the 14th chapter of Leviticus. Now, we're going to go right to the 13th chapter. We're going to deal with the 13th chapter first. And here's what it says about leprosy. We're going to start reading in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, or should I say the 13th chapter, Leviticus, the 9th verse.
"And when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest."
In other words, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, and you know the Almighty said, "Oh, I'm going to put it on you for disobedience." You just read that. And then it says, "When a plague of leprosy is in a man, you should bring the man to the priest."
"And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him."
In other words, this leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that has the plague, from the head even unto his foot, whatsoever the priest look. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. So you see that even though you have this curse, you can be clean. This is not the disease. There's a difference in the disease of leprosy, where they ran when they seen a man and said, "Leprosy, leopard, leopard," and the one that had the plague. No, the one that had the plague, he turned white all over. He could have a job cooking in a restaurant back then. He could do house chores. He was clean. It wasn't contagious, but he was still a leopard. But he was a clean leopard. The plague had covered all his skin. He is clean. The 14th verse.
But when raw flesh appeareth in him,
but when raw flesh appeared in him,
he shall be unclean.
He is unclean.
And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy.
That's a leprosy. That's what they call out when they see them. So you see there's a distinction between a leprosy and the plague of leprosy. The plague of leprosy was for disobedience.
Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which even the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed.
Right, right, that's 17 verse. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that has a plague. He is clean. So that's the difference. And one time we had a great king that had the plague. And again, let's see why he got the plague. Let's see why it came about him. If we go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. We're going to see how he got the plague. Remember, don't forget, the Almighty told us to remember what he did to Marian. And he did this to Marian because she disobeyed the priest. If we go to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, we want to start reading at the about a great king of Israel. This is a great king, and he began to do great things. But sometimes you begin to do too many things and you begin to honor yourself and you become arrogant, you become full of pride. And when you get full of pride, you become proud. And instead of attributing what you had done to the power of the Most High, you begin to say, I did this. Look how strong I am. Look what I did. And this is what one of our great kings did. And here's what it reads about him. We look in the book of 2 Chronicles 26 and 16.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against Yahweh, his Elohim, and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Yahweh that were valiant men.
In other words, he said, 80 priests that were valiant men. In other words, our priests weren't like these 65 preachers today. These people fought for the Almighty. They were valiant men, and they were men capable of warfare. They were strong, brave, and very courageous. And they fought to defend the temple and the sanctity of the temple.
And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Yahweh, but to the priests.
In other words, it don't pertain to you. This is not your commission. You're to be a king. The king, it don't pertain unto him to burn incense, but this is the job of the priests.
The sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense.
We're the ones that are ordained and consecrated by the Most High to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed, neither should it be for thy honor from Yahweh Elohim. Then Uzziah, he was wroth. Instead of him taking heed to the priest, he questioned them, he challenged them, he got mad at them, he was furious. And remember, Yah said, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all the priests everything they command you. As I commanded them, so shall ye do. But Uzziah didn't do that. He withstood them and he got arrogant. And notice what happened to him.
Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of Yahweh from beside the incense altar. And Azariah,
in other words, it started rising up in his forehead before the priest. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked upon him. They stopped. They took their hands on him and looked at him because they seen the work of Yah was manifesting on them that very moment. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out because Yahweh had smitten him. In other words, once he noticed that he was cursed, not only did these priests lose all respect to him and started trying to just literally throw him out because he was defiled in the temple of Yah, but he himself hastened. He was running to get out. He knew the Almighty went against him. And he was running to get out while they was running to kick him out at the same time. The priest going to make sure they do their job, and the king going to try to go against, try to yield to the Almighty by running out himself. But it was too late then. It was too late. The Almighty's hand had already been upon him, the mark of Cain on him.
Now Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper.
For he was cut off from the house of Yahweh. So he himself, he got out of his little castle. He didn't go to the temple no more. And he lived the rest of his life in a several house, being a leper, a house specially for them. For he was cut off from the house of Yah. He was cut off because he had this curse. That's when they said, lay not the sin upon us. Now you ask yourself, what is it of Cain? Whether that Cain was turned black? No. All the people in this book were described as being black with woolly hair. The mark is when he turned him white. That was the mark of leprosy. And we're going to read some more, but right now we have a couple of people we want to talk to, and we're going to go again to... Before we go to Sister Rashida, we're going to go back to Brother Tyrone. He's been waiting on a long time, so we're going to try to get him one more time. Brother Tyrone?
Before we go to Sister Rashida, we're going to go back to Brother Tyrone. He's been waiting on a long time.
Oh, it looks like...
Brother Tyrone? Before we go to Sister Rashida?
I think Brother Tyrone, we just had his radio just listening. If all he had to do is ask me, and I let him hung up, but he hung up, but he didn't want to talk. He just wanted to listen. But if you want to talk, he can call back, and then he can listen. If you want to listen, just mention it, and I'll hold him, because a lot of our callers from out of town, and they don't have an internet in the car they're traveling in, and they just want to be able to listen on the radio through their phone, and you can do this. It's called an Astus. But right now, we're going to go to Sister Rashida. Sister Rashida.
How you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing?
Same. Thank you. I have a couple of questions, please.
Wait, turn down your
radio.
Turn down your internet. It's, or your radio is getting a bad backlash.
Okay, is that all right?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank
okay.
You.
What I'd like to know is, and before you explain it, please allow me to ask the questions. It's about two or three of them, and then you can expound if you would, please. I would like to know who in Genesis. Is Yahweh speaking to when he said, let us make man? That's Genesis 1st chapter, 26th verse. Who is, let us make man in our image? Who is the us? Also, I would like to know, what day did the vegetation grow? Since, the book says that vegetation came forth from the earth on the third day, and in chapter 2, Genesis, it says that there was no man to till the soil. The man was created on the sixth day, is that correct?
I'll wait until you finish all your questions, then I'll answer all of them.
So, and I would like to know then, what day did the vegetables actually grow?
Okay, I'll answer all three of your questions.
Okay.
I thought you had three. I just got really two.
Okay, well, I have several, really, but we don't have time.
Okay.
Okay,
all right,
the other one is...
Well, let me just answer these two, because you're right. I got a lot of people, so let me deal with these two. Now, Thank you.
I'm here.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to put you on hold because I'm getting a little sound through.
Okay.
But you're not off. I'm just putting you on hold. And when I finish, I'll bring you right back. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Right. Right now, we're going to run to Genesis, the first chapter. I'm glad that question came up because a lot of people are under the erroneous impression that the Almighty needed some assistance when he created the heaven and earth and universe. They read in the New Testament where everything was made by the Most High NJC. Then they read in the Quran where everything was made by us. So they wanted to know if this is also true in the Torah. Did the Almighty have any assistance, or did he do everything by himself? And if he did everything by himself, as Brother Elisha said, then why does it say us? Well, let's read the 26th verse. First part, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all the cattle and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he said, let us make man. But if you notice the 27 verse didn't say us made anything. So it lets us know that he merely made a suggestion and said, let us make man. But it shows very clearly that he made man by himself. It lets us know that us did not make anything. It said in Genesis 1:27, so, in other words, after he said, let us make man, it said, so Elohim made man in his own image. It didn't say they made man in their image. It said, and Elohim made man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So Elohim did this, not us. And to keep repeating Elohim. And everybody want to ignore all of that. Even though he keeps redundantly saying, I, me, Elohim, they want to ignore that because they want to feed their distorted minds to believe that the Almighty really needed some assistance, as these other books are saying that the Most High said. Well, let's go further. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. In Isaiah, the 44th chapter, it says, I'm going to go to 44, and I'm going to start reading at the 24th verse of the 44th chapter of Isaiah, verse 24.
Thus saith Yah, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb.
Notice who's talking. It didn't say we are talking. It didn't say they are talking. It said, thus said Yahweh, thy Redeemer. And the Redeemer of Israel is Yahweh. Thy Redeemer, and he, not them, they, not we, and he that formed thee from the womb. And then the Creator said, I am Yahweh that maketh all things. How many things did Yahweh make? All things that stretch forth the heavens alone, that sprouted abroad the earth by myself. Why does he keep mentioning he did this alone? He's trying to drive a point through these knuckleheads out there that he don't have no assistance. He don't need no one to assist him. He did this alone, all by himself, and there was nobody with him. Then he goes further in the book of Isaiah 45. He says, in the fifth verse, I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west, that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. All these things, he said, he did. And then the 12th verse says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the hosts have I commanded. Then it says in verse 18, for thus said Yahweh, the creator of the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I think he's making a case here to me, folks. I don't know about you. Then he goes to the book of Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Then he tells us in the 12th verse, he said, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my verse first. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. I think that's a clear case. And then to make sure that the simple can understand, he takes us to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And then he bears witness in the 43rd chapter by stating in the 10th verse, he tells all his witnesses what he wants them to witness to the world. And he tells none of us to witness that they did anything. He didn't tell his witnesses to witness that people help him do anything. Here's what he told me and the other witnesses of Israel. Ye are my witnesses, said Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange Elohim amongst you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, said Yah, that I am Yahweh. Before the day was, am I he, and there's none that can deliver out of my hand. So that throws a sharp knife through the throat of JC, because the Creator said nobody can deliver anyone out of his hand. So all this Savior you're talking about, you need to redeem you from God because of your sin, he can't help you. He couldn't even help himself. He couldn't save himself, let alone you. The Creator said, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue shall confess unto him, and every tongue shall swear unto him that he is Yahweh and there is none else. So I bear witness, as all the other prophets did. There's not one prophet that he ever mentioned that there's someone that helped him do anything. And he's not saying that in the book of Genesis, as you can clearly see. But if you want to ignore the preponderance of scriptural evidence and use one verse that you like understanding that, because he said we, if you're going to take that one word we and try to put it over the many countless verses of scripture that I gave you, where the Most High speaks himself and assures you that there was nobody else, and I know you would like to say he was lying. I know you would like to say he's mistaking. I'd like you to say that he didn't realize that there was someone else helping him. And this is what all the Christians like to say. Oh, yeah, he had somebody else. That was Christ. No, Christ was there. No, Christ was there. And Christ admit that the Father made all things. But right now, I got my line full, and I'm going to try to answer some more questions, Rashida, and then I'm going to try to come back with you and answer the second question. But I want to answer the first question for a few people in my listening audience. Right now, I'm going right to Brother Michael Riley. Brother Michael.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How you doing today, sir?
Excellent, excellent.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part of your lecture.
Yes.
But I know you were talking about leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we understand that it says being white.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things we understand that anything original has original color, and white is not original nothing.
Yeah, that's right. White indicates the absence of all color.
Right.
Absence of all pigment. You're right.
So we understand when you absent, like for good example, we have what is called Thanksgiving or Turkey Day, whatever you want to call it. We buy a white turkey. Turkeys are not white. We go get a chicken. It's
mm-hmm.
not white.
Mm-hmm.
When they practice on diseases, they get white mice, white rats, white everything. And these are genetically changed so they can deal with the diseases. that has been brought upon this country, on this world, because of this white man.
Mm-hmm.
Because his cave mentality. He's the one who laid up in the cage with the animals in his filth. That's why we have all these filthy, disgusting diseases that we have today. You know, like a good example, the big disease we talk about today is AIDS. I saw a lecture one time was talking about AIDS. People years ago who had the plague back in Europe has built up like a sort of immunity to AIDS now because of the filth that has been brought forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason why the Indians were killed during the time of, you know, that when they came to this country, why they could wipe them out because of their filth, the diseases that they brought upon them. That's when they brought us over here from Africa to work for them for nothing because our resistance was stronger than Indians who never dealt with these diseases before. So we got to understand that when you mingle with certain people like them, these are where these diseases come from. That's why they affect us more than anything else. Like a good example, we worry about AIDS. AIDS is genetically disease that was experimented to basically destroy us. It's genocide. And we don't understand. We think we are being cursed because
transgression, so unto you, thank you for, and then you reached out to, unto you, thank you for, I see you, and then you reached out to, thank you for, I see you, and then you reached out to, thank you for, I see you, unto you, and then you reached out to, searching for love late night. My eyes you uncovered. Exodus 2:16-19. Moses looked just like me. What have I been missing? I really need to listen. The covenant was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they gave the gates to 12 white men, per the New Testament. No more 12 tribes, no need to circumcise. It doesn't make sense. The second half is backwards, and I was fooled by their strength. From a city, two from a family.